Thank you. Recording's now started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the GNSO Futures Call on Wednesday, April 20th, 2016. On the call today, we have Tony Holmes, Rudy Vancenick, Osvaldo Novoa, Amer El Sadir, Rudy Vancenick, Rafik Damak, Philip Corwin, Avery Doria, Denise Michelle, Karnta Baidi. And we have apologies from Jimson Alufier, Sam Lanfranco, and Matthew Shears. From staff, we have myself, Chantal Dirksen, and Marion Bakashi. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much. And over to you, Tony and Rudy.
Okay, it's Tony speaking for the record. Thank you very much, Chantal, for that. It's fair to say that Rudy and I have been busy swapping emails, but we haven't actually spoken, so this is going to be interesting to see how we co-chair this call when we're not sitting together and we don't know what each other is doing. But I'm sure we'll get through that. In terms of the agenda, we did have introductions. I think we can virtually skip that with the introduction that's been given by Chantal just now. And the other items we have listed are a discussion around the proposed charter, the election of co-chairs, and we can discuss that point when we get to it. Review of earlier discussions during the intersessional meeting that we attended in LA. And then a review of the initial questions that were posed in LA. They were the questions that were posed on the slide set that we quickly ran through in that session. And the final item is a proposed, sorry, it's not the final item. Then we have discussion around the proposed way forward. And the final item is actions and plans for future meetings. Are there any additions or changes proposed for the agenda? Okay.
Well, Rudy, for the transcript, Tony.
Yes, go ahead.
Just maybe one element that I was not able to join the GNSO Council meeting last week, but if I'm not wrong, the proposal of the GNSO recommendations on the review of the GNSO has been discussed, and maybe one of our councillors, I think Amber, could eventually help us to see if there was a decision taken or not. I don't know yet.
Okay, I think that's a good point, Rudy. So maybe we should slot that in between items 3 and 4 on our agenda. So that's between the election of co-chairs and the review of earlier discussions in LA. Okay, thanks. Chantal, could I ask you to show on the Adobe the proposed charter?
Hi, Tony. Just one moment.
Okay.
I'm going to share my screen.
Okay, and welcome to Denise. I see you've joined us, which is good. So whilst Chantal is getting this on the screen, we're here now. It's fair to say that this was drafted particularly quickly. It was during one of the sessions that we had in LA. And I think it's had little attention since then. So I think one of the things we should do is give ourselves a period to look at this. We do have the option of adopting it straight away. But I would prefer maybe saying within the next few days, if people have any real problems with this or comments on it, if you could circulate something to probably to Chantal to send to the list is the easy way, so that we know it's gone right the way round. But can I ask, does anyone have any comments on the charter as it reads now? And I see that Amir has also put the link in, so you can get it up on your own screens as well. Are there any comments upon this currently?
I think, Rudy, for the transcript. I think that Avery has been doing some auditing work and put some comments. Stephanie Perrin also has done some comments. Maybe you can ask others to eventually review these comments too, so that we have a clear view on the acceptance of eventual modifications.
Sure, I think that's good. The fact that you're on the call, Avery, would you want to say anything currently, just while we're discussing this now, to help us along that path? Yeah, I see you've posted the question.
I'm sorry, Avery. Took me a while. Yeah, it took me a while to find my mute button.
Okay, go ahead, Avery.
Let me see. Yeah, I guess I just asked the same question again in the chat, which is I'm trying to understand, in this case, is why is it just a party house, non-commercial party house effort as opposed to a GNSO effort, and I asked the same thing in the chat now. And if we're talking, especially when we're calling it GNSO Futures Working Group, I guess I'm indicating confusion.
Okay, and I fully appreciate that, Sir Tony speaking. Can I try and answer that from my perspective, Avery? I don't know how it will stand, but the issue is, I think, that within the non-contracted parties house, we have probably struggled with the current structure more than overall the GNSO has. And that was one of the reasons I think it was great to have this on the agenda when we met in LA. And when we've raised these issues, and I think it's been done on a constituency basis, it's been done on a stakeholder basis with the board and with the GNSO review team, it's never really got the traction or the attention that it needed to. And certainly the fact that in the last review, they scooted around all the issues to do with structure, I think highlighted that. So one of the reasons I believe it's good to have some initial discussion within at the house level is that I think if we can look to discuss or agree a common set of issues that we want resolved, then we can pitch them in and involve the other parties. I do think it needs to broaden out, and that may happen quite quickly. But at the moment, I think there is benefit from us discussing this as a house. I think probably some of the things we can agree on are what the issues are. I don't expect us to agree on the solutions or the answers, but actually getting some strength from having that combined attention drawn to the fact that as a house we have real problems with the current structure would be quite a step forward. And if you have those discussions within the whole GNSO, I think some parties within the GNSO are going to be far happier with the structure as it is today than some of the rest of us. So it's really trying to get that elevated to a level where hopefully I think we may be able to say on this set of issues, and we can have some discussion about what they are, this particular house, which is half in theory of the GNSO, actually has these issues it wants to raise and wants to have some discussion around. We don't seem to be getting that when we have it pitched at the stakeholder group level or a constituency level. So that's my take on that. But does anybody else want to comment on that?
Well, Tony, Rudy, for the transcript, maybe to add to your comments and remarks, the non-contracted party house is the most complex one, also in number of constituencies and stakeholder groups inside it, while the contracted party house is much smaller. And I think they have less discussions about the structure of their house itself. That's one of the reasons why we initiated the idea of having that discussion in LA. And maybe to take the attention of the title in a different direction, we could eventually call it the NCPH view on the GNSO future, to put it in a little bit different perspective. But I see, Avery, you have your hand up. You have the floor.
Yes, I do. Thank you. Okay, I can certainly understand the reason for the NCPH to be talking about this among itself, and certainly us having a call to further discuss this, I think is a fine idea, a good idea. I'm glad I joined. But in terms of creating a group with charter within the House construct on a problem that really is much broader, on a problem that extends to things like the new GTLDs, the brand and single use, and other types of GTLDs that may or may not have a place within the GNSL environment. When looking at the various kinds of service providers beyond the ISPs that don't necessarily seem to have an appropriate home within it, to basically take the broader discussion of what the problems are and be inclusive, it seems like the discussion needs to be broader than just one house if we're talking about things like chartering working groups. Certainly us having chats about it and coming to common understandings because we are in a house is a useful thing. I just really have doubts about chartering a group and turning this house construct even more solid by now getting into processes such as having working groups with charters and stuff like that. I think that's another piece of this that concerns me. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Avery. And I certainly have some sympathy with some of those views. Sorry, who was wanted the floor?
This is Greg Shatton. I joined the call a few minutes ago. Could I get in the queue?
Sure. I see, Denise, you have your hand raised if you'd like to take the floor.
Yes. Can you hear me okay, Tony?
Yes.
Thanks, Tony and Rudy, for sharing this call and this group. I think the charter generally is fine. I would suggest we add perhaps a consideration of next steps. That could include bringing in, opening it up to additional groups. But I think it's important that we start somewhere, and I think this is a fine starting point. I think part of the challenge that the GNSO, and particularly this part of the GNSO, has is that we have the previously board-mandated reorganization of the GNSOs, or the board-directed GNSOs, several years ago. And then we have this most recent Westlake review. I think it's appropriate for the GNSO to take back some control and initiative from the bottom up, so to speak, of discussing what the challenges and problems are and what we think some of the solutions potentially could be. So I think this type of approach of taking the initiative is a good place to start, and I would suggest that we not dwell too much on the charter and process and jump more into a discussion and brainstorming of what we see as the key problems or challenges and some ideas that we might want to discuss and pursue to fix them. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Denise. Greg.
Thanks, Greg Shatton, for the record. The center is a record. And I have to say I kind of agree with everything I've heard, even though some of it has been, you know, contradictory in a sense, or at least complementary. I think there is a value in bringing the non-contracted groups together to have, you know, a discussion group. I think ultimately, you know, probably sooner rather than later, want to figure out how either this group expands itself or whether it, you know, suggests a related group of which this perhaps is a subgroup that would include both contract, you know, for contracted parties and also the homeless perhaps as well.
Denise, Michelle, I got cut off.
And so I think there's a place.
GNSO review.
That there's a place for this discussion, but there's also
Denise.
And I think after that, you know, we'll need to include the bigger group. But if we get our own house somewhat in order, we'll be better off than we are now. Thanks.
Thanks for that, Craig. Avery, if I could come back to you. It's Tony speaking. I think part of what you said for me is maybe there's a view that we're making this more formal than it needs to be. And I certainly support the suggestion, and Greg underlined it as well, that we need to broaden the debate as we go along. But just to have some initial discussions, and I think you used the word informal as well, and maybe we should re-term this group. And the title that came up from Rudy, maybe we should add to the front of that an informal NCPH group. And that might overcome some of the problems, because all I'm trying to do here initially was to get some agreement amongst us of what needs to be fixed. And we could probably do that in the hallway, or we could probably find a meeting room to do it. But really to kick it off and give it some impetus. So if we take that approach, and maybe we don't need a formal charter, but we need something that we can all agree to say this is the remit of that group, whether we call it a charter or whether we call it something else, doesn't really matter. It's making sure that we all understand what we're trying to do here. So if we take that lighter approach, does that fit better with your view of where we should go, Avery?
Hi, Avery again. Sorry, I'm so slow to find my unmute button. Certainly, you know, us continuing an informal discussion is fine. I think if we want to start with something like an informal statement of what we think the problem we're talking about is, I see absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think once we start calling them charters and amendments and members, we cross a formality border. But yeah, I mean, taking, you know, much of this, much of the wording that is included in the proposed charter and sort of cutting it down to here's a statement of the issues that this informal group wants to explore. Yeah, I think that's a fine thing.
Okay, so Tony, for the record, thank you for that. I think if you could leave that perhaps with Rudy and I and Chantel, maybe to do that, to have this, you used a great term actually, informal statement of work, and cut it back to fit with that, then we will do that and post it for review if everyone's okay with that. I think that gives us a way forward on what we had under the item of proposed charter. Okay. Now I'm going to rely on the advice of others for the next item as well, because moving on with our agenda, the next one is the election of co-chairs. And I don't have any particular stake in the game here, but I do feel quite strongly that it would be helpful if we have at least one chair from each of the stakeholder groups within our house. So the first thing I'd like to just throw out there is, does everyone agree that this group should have two co-chairs rather than just a chair? Does anyone disagree? Yes, it's Tony for the transcript. Does anyone disagree with that?
Tony, just a minute. I saw Greg has his hand up. Maybe he wanted to speak before we jumped into this point of the agenda. Greg, do you want to add some comments to the previous point?
It's Greg. I put in the chat that I thought maybe the term discussion group was one that might fit what we're doing rather than working group. An informal working group kind of has, at least discussion group has been used before in ICANN. And on the current topic, I think two chairs or co-facilitators is probably a better than one. But, of course, if we don't have two volunteers to do it, we'll do just fine with one. And I don't know, but the working party term gives me concern, just because the only it's being used twice in very different circumstances. One with the GNSO review working party, and then there's also, which was I think chartered by at least the GNSO, and then there's the Human Rights Working Party, which is chartered, if at all, only by the NCSG. So I don't know. I guess I feel like that's a term that's being abused a bit. So I'd like to go back to stick with discussion group. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. I see we have Denise and then Susan in the chat. Denise, please.
Thanks, Tony. I agree with Greg. I think discussion group is a fine term, and if you and Rudy, would agree to continue to be our facilitators, I think that would be great as well. Thanks.
Thank you. Susan.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, you're fine, thanks.
Oh, good. Thank you. Sorry, I was a bit late joining the call, and so I may have missed this if it was talked about at the beginning, but it was just about the participants in this group. I mean, it seemed as far as I could tell, the invitation went to those of us who are at the international, and that was probably because that was where we kicked this discussion off, but is there any specific reason to limit it to those who attended the intersessional? I know from the IPC, for example, we had some people who were very involved in the GNSO review and have been, very involved in the discussions the IPC has been having about the structure. And so it seems to me that it would be beneficial for them to be here and have the opportunity to be a part of this group, but I didn't know if there was some reason why it was being limited to just those who'd attended the intersessional.
Thanks, Susan. It's Tony for the record. You raise a really good point, and we struggled with this a little bit, knowing who to send the invitations to. We didn't know whether to send it just to the chairs of the constituencies and stakeholder groups and let them deal with it how they felt appropriate. So we took the easy way out, which was basically just to send it to people who attended the intersessional. That was really just to kick the thing off, and it is open to everybody. I think the concern we had was making it manageable on one front and making it representative. So it should be open to everybody, and if there's anybody within your constituencies, and we have to rely, I think, from here on the people who are basically responsible for running the constituencies and the stakeholder groups to spread the word out. And if people want to join the group, I would ask that you spread the word, and those people should contact Chantal just to be added to the list. But it's a good point you raised.
Lovely, thanks. I just, as I say, I wasn't sure, but it seemed to me that there might be others who might, have more to bring to this.
I'm sure that's true, and the more help we get, the better. So that's for sure. Okay. The word facilitators was used. I think it was you, Greg, used those, and I like that far better than co-chairs. If we're keeping this informal, then I think co-facilitators is the term to use. So at this stage, we should open it up and ask if anybody else from either house or either side would like to be a co-facilitator, or if not, does it come down to Rudy and I to carry on? And I'm totally open on this. I assume Rudy is the same as well. So now is the time for people to comment on that, or put themselves forward, or make a proposal.
Yes, Tony, Rudy for the transcript. I agree. Let's see if we have some other candidates. Otherwise, as mentioned, I'm still willing to continue with you or with anybody else to do this work. I think it's in a process that will take some time before we will get real results out of it.
Okay, thanks, Rudy. I like the term rap group as well, Greg, but I don't think we're going to be doing much rapping for a while. So, okay, for now, then certainly Rudy and I will carry on facilitating this informal group. And I think we've made some progress today in getting a good understanding of where we all are on here and what needs to be done. So moving on down the agenda, the next item was the one we added in from the GNSO discussions that were held, because there was a discussion in council around GNSO reform. So could I ask somebody who was on council that participated in those debates now to lead on that? Who took part in the council debates?
I suppose the councillors. I see Amaru was... without willing to point fingers to people, but that's what I see in the... Greg was also on the council, I think.
Okay, so Greg or Amma, neither of you are shy people, so can we ask you just to give a quick recap on what was discussed at council that relates back to this topic? Amir.
Yes, Amir.
Great. Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
Hi, all. Thanks. Just to be clear, we're talking about the adoption of the GNSO working party assessment of the GNSO review, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Okay, great. The last Thursday, the GNSO Council adopted the assessment provided by the GNSO Review Working Party. There was an amendment to the original motion to take into consideration one piece of feedback as a result of the webinar held on Tuesday of last week. Yeah, I see Denise is on the call today, so that was one of Denise's inputs, and the council adopted it. There was a lengthy discussion on whether that amendment would appropriately capture all the inputs that was provided during the webinar or not. And but at the end of the day, just to sort of That was really the one significant change that was made to the working party assessment. But right now, where things stand is that there's basically an ongoing dialogue between the GNSO Council, the working party members, and the board's Organizational Effectiveness Committee on how the OEC is planning on sort of handling or managing these the recommendations from the independent examiner. The independent examiner had their recommendations. The GNSO Working Party did an assessment of those, provided sort of a feedback on what the Working Party believes the OEC should do with the recommendations, and then set a number of priorities to sort of prioritize those recommendations during implementation. The ball, as far as I see it, is really in the OEC's courts right now. They need to take into consideration a number of different inputs, whether the working parties or inputs from other stakeholder groups and constituencies over the course of several meetings where the independent examiner Westlake interacted with the community, and take into consideration the report itself and the recommendations made and how dialogue will continue between the community and the OEC in the future is really something we need to hear back from them on. I think that's all I have for now, but if there are any specific questions on this that I could shed some light on, I'd be happy to try. Thank you.
So, Tony, for the record, thanks, Sam. That was helpful. I think we needed to understand where council were heading with their discussions. At the same time, I think it leaves the way clear for us to continue the sort of dialogue that we started when we met in LA. So having that clarity was useful. And it leads us on really quite nicely to the next agenda item, which is really a review of the earlier discussions during the intersessional. Chantal, are you in a position where you could bring up the slide pack, the presentation that we gave in LA, Rudy and I? So I think that covers part of that ground as well. Okay, so if we go to the next slide, slide 2. Yes, this looks at the issue of structural changes, and certainly initially it was considered out of scope, and it got quite a strong reaction. It got a strong reaction from participants in this house as well as others, but only later did it get considered. So if we can move on to the following slide 3. Yes, so not considering this and then seeing the strength of the comments that came back with more than 120 unsolicited comments saying it was pretty complex and difficult. There were other suggestions to abolish the two-house structure and a whole raft of things in there that should have opened this up for debate. And if we move on to the following slide after this, there's a list of views that were fed back to the review team. That's the one. And they raced all over the place. Some said do nothing. Others favoured abolishing the house structure. There were specific recommendations or comments made with the NCSG, even up to the stage of abolishing the GNSO completely and restructure ICANN. So for me, that would have said, certainly, you can't ignore this. You need to do something. But the reality was, in their conclusions, and I think we need to go on a couple of slides for that, the conclusions went down the path of saying that another round of structural change isn't warranted. They weren't convinced by that at all. And that's really where we were left, that there were higher priorities to deal with. And in ICANN, there will always be higher priorities, no matter what you're dealing with, that contend for that. So we got to the stage where we wanted to try and get some action on this. And what that led to was some questions that we posed during that session, which we didn't have the time to fully look at or concentrate on. So I'd now like to go to the key questions and discussion slide in this pack. I think it's a couple of slides ahead. Okay, now there's a number of questions that follow on here. And out of these questions, and we can quickly go through these slides, if we can get some indication from these questions of what are the key issues and what needs to be tackled, then I think we're at the stage where we can choose. We can either start having a discussion on a house basis around those issues or as to how we address them, or that may be the time when we look to broaden out this discussion overall. But the key thing here has to be how far you can get in terms of a house view, that these are the key elements that need to be addressed. And as I mentioned right at the start of this chat, I don't think we're ever going to get to a stage where we all agree on the solutions. That's a goal that we're just not going to reach. But agreeing on the questions and what needs to be tackled is a fundamental step along the path. So I would suggest that what we do is not go through these detailed questions now, but we actually ask Chantelle to circulate them to the list. And we have a period, an open period, where we request feedback. And then from that, Chantelle and Rudy and I can try and pull together some themes out of that, which we can present as we take that forward. So just to quickly look at where the questions are, could we go to the following slide? It's key questions and discussion 2. Quite an important issue there is, can we fix the current problem within the two-house bicameral structure? And could the problems be solved by restructuring the non-contracted parties house, or even between the CSG and the NCSG? If we can get to the stage where we can agree where we're going on those things, then I think we've got the fundamental points for a much better discussion. So if we can move on again to number 3. More questions here. And some of these relate to possibly some of the alternative ways of doing things. The move towards working groups. And a critical thing right the way through this, particularly within our house, so much more, I think, than in the other house, is this issue of voting. If the need for voting was reduced, would that alleviate some of the problems? And for those that were around when this structure was discussed in the first place, the argument that came from the board, not from the people that were working on the structure, but from the board themselves, was saying we're going to get to a stage where you don't need to have so much voting. So it becomes somewhat irrelevant. So don't worry too much about voting in the future. Well, we've never got to that stage. It's never really happened. And that's a key element of this discussion we're going to have now. Can we ever get to that stage? Is there a better way of doing things if we move away from that? So I think these are all good questions. If we can go on to key questions 4. This, again, takes account of some of the changes we've seen over the recent period, the increasing number of CCWGs. From my own perspective, I think that we've achieved a lot through CCWGs. And in some cases, I think that's helped ICANN in a much better way than we could ever have hoped for when we were working in our silos and we didn't have that interaction. So we should look at those questions and see how they pan out and whether we should put more faith in moving forward that way. Now, there's one more slide on here. It's number 5. Will reform of the GNSO achieve the best answer for ICANN? Or do we make it broader? Do we, to make the fundamental changes and to make ICANN better, do we actually need to look at ICANN as a whole and the relationship and interworking between those groups? If ever we get to that stage, of course, it's absolutely essential that we do involve all parties. We couldn't possibly look to have any of those discussions without doing it on a broad basis. And one of the key questions is the time for this now. There'll never be a good time to do this. There'll always be something that's taking priority. And having put all the attention, or a lot of our attention, into IANA and the follow-on activities that are stemming out of that are still quite substantial, we've also got a whole raft of other work building up as well. But if you're looking for a gap to do this, I don't believe you'll ever find one. But these are questions that we should really ask and have an answer for, because they're going to be issues that other people pose if we try and broaden out this discussion and involve them. So what I'd like to table here is the approach where, for those of us on the call, and anybody else, as we mentioned, is open to join this discussion from within our house, that we circulate these questions and we ask people to come back and put in some response, not as a constituency, not as a stakeholder group, but individual views at this stage. I think it would be more varied and more welcome to move this forward. So can I have some feedback and comments on whether people think that's a reasonable approach to move forward and try and advance this work down that path? Would anyone like to get in the queue to comment on that? And if you have another approach, I'm really keen to hear that as well. But I think that answering some of those key starting point questions should actually point the study down a path that we can engage on a much better way. Rudy, let me turn to you for a comment to see that you're happy with that approach. Please, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Tony, Rudy, for the transcript. I agree with the majority of what you have been bringing up so far. I think it's important that we start having first discussions on are these the questions, are these the key questions, or are there still some others? Maybe we have to validate first the list of the questions, the key questions. But I saw Amr and Denise had their hands up, so I see, Amr, you still have your hand up. You have the floor.
Thanks, Rudy, and thank you, Tony, to Amr. I think it's a good idea to sort of, as a first step, have everyone go over these questions and give input on whether they're the right questions to ask, whether there are other questions, you know, missing questions, whether some of these questions need to be changed. So that's a good thing, and I wholeheartedly support doing this more thoroughly than on this call. I do have just one observation that I would like to note at this time, because I see that, and forgive me, that I'm only seeing a lot of this for the first time, I would caution against sort of just building on what input was provided via the independent examiner in terms of structural changes as they are. I've done a relatively decent degree of work with studies and such, and I think it's important to always critically appraise a study before actually taking anything that comes out of it as a given. So apart from sort of taking a close look at these questions, I would take a close look at whatever information or output from the Westlake review, and before sort of using that as a building block for this group's work, I think it would be important for us to look at these bits of the study ourselves and sort of decide how we're going to use some of this information, not just take it as a given. And I say that because a lot of the substantive work in the study on the structure that did not lead to recommendations was not actually reviewed by the GNSO review working party, because the working party, at least in its last few months, focused a great deal more on the actual recommendations, and as we all know, that structural changes were not within the scope of the last review. Since no one else has done this work, it may be worthwhile for this group to sort of just take a look at because I did see quite a bit of information on earlier slides from the example 360 review and so forth. So that's it. Thanks.
Thanks, Emma. Tony, for the record. A really good point, because if we get into some of the broader discussions, and I'm sure that's going to happen at some point, there's an awful lot of stuff in the Westlake report that does have a bearing on that. So we should certainly look to use that work wherever we can and build on that. I'm totally in accord with that. Rudy.
Yes, Tony. I just see that Marilyn Kate has joined us in the meeting too. And about the question of having a wiki space, I think it's the right moment to kick that wiki space off, so that people that are not yet part of the group can already know what is on the table, what we initiated, and comment still on some of the points to help us getting the building correctly designed, so that we can start doing the work that is in the perspective of this group. Having a wiki space will allow anybody from outside to have a look at it and maybe trigger some people to join us.
Okay, Tony, for the record, yes, agree, totally. We need to be transparent with this, and I think it would be helpful to do that. So what came out of that discussion, I think, was a request that we review the questions, and that gives people the opportunity to add to them or delete them or modify them. So if we set a date maybe of about a week, perhaps seek input on that by the 29th of April, then that would give us something to work with. And I think we'd need a few days to look at that and pull together some form of direction, which would be down to Rudy and I to do. And then we need to set up another call, or otherwise you could rely on us just to circulate the list of amended questions pending the input that's come into the list. Which is the preferred approach out of that?
Well, Tony, Rudy, for the transcript, while we are going to have our wiki space, maybe the 29th is a bit short, the deadline. If we set up the wiki space, people can have an easier look. They don't have to look into mails, and we can already see what's going on from that side. I'm just wondering if the 29th is not too short.
Too quick. Okay, if we're going to go down the wiki route, then I think it's a valid point. We should certainly provide Chantal with the opportunity to set that up, and we should also need some time to notify people within our respective groups. So maybe add another week on to that. Chantal, would that be acceptable to you to set up a wiki page and to close it for comments, which would be just trying to look at my diary. That would be on the 6th of May. If we say comments on the list of questions by the 6th of May, and then we can set some direction depending what comes out of that, whether we need to set up a call or how we need to go. Marilyn, I see that you've commented that we edit the question on issues to be the first three key challenges and then three key challenges facing GNS. So I think they're valid points, but it would be helpful if we can set up the wiki page and you can feed that in then. I think that's a good discussion point.
Tony, Rudy, for the transcript. And I think that the wiki space will allow us also to add some links to previous work that has been done, as Amar has mentioned. I think it's good if we have the ability, that everybody has the ability to have a look at what has been discussed already in the past on this issue of GNSO structure. Probably that will be very helpful in the further discussions. So I think that the wiki space is the perfect place to start off, and maybe for you and me and Chantal also to draft a next agenda for the next meeting.
Thanks, Rudy. It's Tony. I think that's a good way forward. I can see Chantal is also saying that works. So that gives everyone the opportunity to engage in this. It gives those who aren't on this call the opportunity to come back. Those who want to engage, they can join as well. So I would suggest that we've got a way forward for that. And if we can work with Chantal to make sure that everyone is hooked into that process, then I think we're in a pretty good position to move this forward.
Ready for the transcript. Maybe an additional question, maybe a last question. Should we make a kind of formal communication to the contracted party house about this setup, or should we just go on and not making official comments on it?
Well, I would also like, it's Tony, I would also like to seek some feedback on that as well. My own view is that I think at this stage, we haven't really got anything to say to them other than we're just kicking off a review, looking at where we are and some views from our particular house to get the discussion going. We haven't got any concrete issues to work with. I think that's a really good question. My preference would be to consider that question again on the second call, when maybe we'll have a better idea of the issues we're going to be looking at, because there'll be some commonality that comes out of the review of the questions.
Yeah, really for the transcript. No problem, Tony. It's just a question that I had in my mind, and I see some reactions from Madeline Cade also, that we would first work on our house, and then when we have something substantial on paper, on the table, we can then maybe focus on a meeting, and that's something that seems to me quite urgent if we want to get it. Having a meeting on this with eventually the contracted party in Helsinki.
So, Tony, I totally agree with that. I think that's where we should be heading. And if we're at the stage where we have something to discuss, some concrete issues that we can put forward as a house when we go to Helsinki, I think we've made good progress on that. And certainly I'd be in favour of broadening out the discussion then. And I believe ICANN are open to that proposal as well. We might want to think on our next call about putting a marker down to get some time on the timetable to do that and how it fits in with the revised meeting schedule for Helsinki. But that is a good point. And if we can get to that stage, then I think this effort would have been worthwhile. Okay, let me open up. Rudy, go ahead, please.
Yeah, just to confirm that, as I had some contact and we had the SOAC leadership meeting also, the call last week, it's clear that for the meeting team, we cannot wait too long before we try to get room and space available in the proposed schedule for the four-day meeting. I would like to see if maybe Tony, Chantal and me, we can have a look at it to request a time slot and space in the Helsinki meeting plan, because I know that it's not so easy to get something done in it.
Okay, it's Tony for the transcript. I'm very happy with that proposal. Is everyone else okay if we adopt that approach now? Make a bid for a time slot now? Seems to make a lot of sense. Marilyn, I see that you're making the point that time and meeting space is very tight for Helsinki. Well, that really underlines the fact that if we're going to do it, we ought to do it now. And I also accept your comment, Emma, as well, that it's to focus on policy work. I hope we can still find a slot during that time for this as well.
Well, Rudy, for the transcript, on the Monday, there is the outreach also that is scheduled. Maybe there is some hour time space that can be used for doing that.
Okay, so if you can leave it with us, then we'll follow up on that and see what headway we can make. Okay, so I think we've gone as far as we can today, and we've got something to work with now, which was the key thing to kick off this discussion. So with that, we will open up the wiki space. We will certainly make sure everyone is aware of that and look forward to receiving some input. Rudy, Chantal and I will work with that input and look at the next steps and come back straight after to advise how we're going to tackle it. And in the meantime, Rudy, Chantal and I will work to get some meeting space. Does anyone want to raise any final issues? Otherwise, I think we've gone as far as we can on today's call. Susan, noting your comment in the chat, that's a good point. If we can't get the meeting space, we need to find another way to do this. And using Adobe seems to be a good way. And I would certainly hope by the time we get to Puerto Rico, we could have made some substantial improvements. Chantal, in response to your question, send a doodle poll for the next call. I think it would be best to look at the input that's going to come in by the 6th. And then maybe send a doodle straight after that. We'll have a better idea of what we need to tackle on the next call by then. So it's probably more appropriate to do it that way. Rudy.
Yes, well, I would like to thank Tony for all his efforts also, that he spent quite some time in getting this also on the table. And maybe also Chris, who is not with us today, but you two have been doing quite a lot of work in preparing this group of people. I will also ask Mariam Bakoshi, who is from the NCSD, the secretariat. She will also help from ICANN staff to go through the some administrative work we have to do with regards to the Helsinki meeting. I know she is in close contact with the meeting team itself, and we'll probably have some responses within the next 48 hours. So, I think we can call this meeting to an end.
I think that may be telling us something, and the hour is almost up. So, I personally want to thank everybody for joining the call. I think we've got a good way forward and look forward to working with you and moving this along. It's been a long haul to try and get some movement on this. So if we can work together to try and stimulate that, I'm sure we'll all be thankful for that at the end of the day. So unless there's any other closing comments, then I think we should end the call now. So thank you, Chantal. If I could ask you to stop the call.
Thank you, Tony. Operator, you can now stop the recording. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.